Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we are welcoming Writers of the Future Grand Prize winner Jake Marley. We're going to talk about books and writing and all kinds of fun stuff. Hi, Jake. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm really happy to have you on board. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background and your writing?
Not everything,
just a little snippet.
I'll give a little taste. I'm an Orange County native here in California, and I've grown up as a reader my whole life, and I'm pretty much drawn to the darker stuff. I read a lot of horror and dark fantasy, but then I kind of read broadly, too, as broadly as possible. And I've always wanted to be a storyteller and be a writer, and so I've been practicing in secret for about 20 years, and my very first published short story is Acquisition in Volume 33 of the L. Ron Hubbard Writers and Illustrators of the Future, and it won me the Golden Pen Grand Prize this year. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
You're actually living. We were talking off the show. I was born in Garden Grove, so I saw that my eyes went wide because I lived there for only 6 months of my life. But I mean, oh my God, he's from Garden Grove where I was born.
Yep, I love the Garden Grove Public Library. I'll give them a shout out because they're wonderful people there.
Well, this is how long ago it was when I was born there. The hospital was one story, and I've been there. I know it's much, much, much taller now.
Yes, it is.
You were talking about your reading habits. I personally think that to be a writer, you have to be a reader. What was the first book that really captured your interest?
Oh, I think that the first book completely set my tone. I had an abridged version of Robert Louis Stevenson's The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and I read that obsessively as a kid. And I once asked for a copy in the library, and the librarian gave me this much larger book, and I had no idea that abridged meant edited. So I then had to puzzle out the more archaic language of the unabridged version of it, and I fell in love with that story, and that led to Poe, and Poe led to Stephen King when I was 11, and Stephen King, and then Dean Koontz, of course, because he's an Orange County writer, and it was really fun to read about monsters in places I've actually visited, and so I just kept, and reading the darker supernatural suspense stuff, which is kind of what I like to write now, also led me, I found that the introductions and the afterwards to books were invaluable for finding new people to read. Everybody would thank somebody who inspired them. Oh, this story wouldn't have happened if I hadn't read Lovecraft. This story wouldn't have happened if I hadn't read Raymond Chandler. And all of a sudden, I'm reading Lovecraft. I'm reading Raymond Chandler. I got to, you know, I was getting book recommendations by my favorite authors really early on. And it led to a just love of reading, all things genre, all things literature. I'm a big reader. I believe
that's
absolutely
funny.
You can't be a writer without that.
That just reminded me when I always especially when I was young, still now today I just don't have as much time. When I was young, I would become obsessed by certain authors, and I want to read not only as much of their work as I could, I want to know about them. Like, the first one was Agatha Christie, still
yes.
One of my top favorite writers. And I got her biography, and she was talking in it about the person she most admired and was most interested in, which was Dorothy Sayers, who I had never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So it was weird because that was how I started. And then you read Dorothy Sayers and she talks about someone else. And then, yeah, that's exactly
yep.
me, how I got into it too. Also, Ellery Queen, I didn't know that that was two different writers, and they talk about other people. It's sort of like this weird kind of jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, well, Stephen King is great for those. In his introductions, he led me to Bradbury, he led me to Robert Bloch, and Alfred Bester, and all kinds of science fiction writers and other horror writers, and I think that, yeah, it's following down those rabbit holes. It actually took me a long time to read more contemporary stuff. You know, I was already in high school by the time I was reading writers who were actually working in the industry at that time. You know, I was reading all these old stuff early. But
Talk about local writers. Did you meet Bradbury? Because he used to go to conventions a lot.
No, I never went to any conventions with him when he was still around. That makes me sad. But this year I've gotten to meet a ton of my heroes. not just with Writers of the Future, but I also went to the Horror Writers Association convention at the Queen Mary StokerCon this year. So I met a lot of writers and editors who I love and admire. So that was a whole lot of fun, too.
I had friends who went to that I think my friend Lee Murray was honored at that. That's a really good convention. There's also the big convention at in LA for horror and science fiction. That's at the convention center every year. That's also where I met a lot of people.
Cool.
I wanted to ask you, one of my dad's favorites that he introduced me to when I was a kid, and nobody seems to know, but he wrote beautiful stuff. His name was A.E. Van Vogt. Have you ever heard of him, and have you ever read any of his books, like Slan or any of that?
You know, I read him in high school because they had a book by him in our high school library, and I pretty much tore through everything they had at the high school library. I can't really remember anything, but that's definitely one I should revisit, because I think one of the writers at my Writers of the Future workshop also recommended that. So that was on my to-be-read list, which gets longer and longer and longer every day.
Yeah, my dad was trying to wean me off mysteries, like I tried to wean him off the old science fiction books that he kept reading over and over again. And
uh-huh.
He gave me A. Van Vogt's, A.E. Van Vogt, I can't say his name today, I'm sorry.
No, okay.
And the book Slan, because it was about a girl, and it was also, it's one of the more gentle books. And he goes, you got to read this. It's really good. And he asked how I got hooked on science fiction.
Yeah, I find
so I recommend it.
I will definitely, like I said, that one's on my list. I think that there's so many great writers right now who are writing things in multiple genres. So you can give a horror fan something that's a little more science fiction, or vice versa, you know, or fantasy or whatever. There's so much good work being done in genre fiction right now that every time I turn around, there's another brilliant writer popping up.
Well, it's like you said, you read Raymond Chandler. That's murder mystery. One book leads to another book, leads to another. It doesn't have to be the same genre. And also, reading nonfiction can lead to fiction, and reading fiction can lead to nonfiction. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just obsessed with my biographies and my documentaries on television as I am with fictional stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. No, I made it my mission when I was younger to know as much as I could about Stephen King, because I thought that guy, I think he's a great writer, and so I felt like I knew him in a way. You know, it's one of those, you feel like if you read enough of a writer, you feel like you know them. So,
mm-hmm.
and Dean Koontz is, like I said, Dean Koontz is pretty influential because he's here in Orange County, and so, you know. Monsters on Chapman Avenue made me happy because I lived off Chapman Avenue. So
did you get to meet either of them?
No, not yet, but, you know, I'm just starting out. I've been a secret writer for about 20 years, you know, working on things, getting better. And I love it. I love writing. I love storytelling. I'd do it whether I got published or not, but getting published is a whole lot of fun. Because it means I've got kind of a calling card now, and I get to say, hey, look, my story's out here. It's in a book. It's in a pretty cool book that, you know, was a bestseller, and I'm excited. It's a good way to start. If you're trying to start as a writer, getting started with Writers of the Future, they're definitely great people there.
Yeah, Absolutely. Any way that a writer can get out is a good thing. And I have a lot of friends with that group, so I know it's very positive influence and helpful. What I wanted to ask you about also is, what is your how do you work on your writing? Do you have, like, a period of time? Do you have a place you go? What is your modus operandi?
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I work nights, and so, you know, my days are usually spent with my wife and while my kids at school, and weekends are pretty much all about the kid because I've got a 10-year-old, so I want to be a good dad. But
right.
Luckily, you know, I get home around 4, and I sleep till about 9, and I get up, and my wife and I either go for a walk and talk about the stories because she's kind of my other half. I bounce all the ideas off of her. She edits my stories. You know, she's pretty good with story structure. I'm pretty good with just the words. So we make a pretty good team, I think. And so then I usually sit down and write for an hour or two and have lunch and write. You know, if I can get more in, I get more in and pick up the kid from school. And it's kind of my day. I used to go for word count, but I don't have that kind of, you know, if I got to 500 words and my goal was 500 words, I would feel like, okay, I'm done, even though I had another hour, you know, to write. Or if I only had half an hour to write and I didn't get 500 words, I'd feel weird afterwards. So at this point, I just write whenever I can. I used to just sit down and write whatever came into my head, but that led to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages where the story didn't go anywhere. You know, I'd write these whole, you know, 250, 300-page stories that didn't really have a story going on. It was a lot of description, a lot of characters, but if they had a conflict, they'd get it solved way too easily, and it didn't make a very satisfying story. So just this last year or so, I've been working from outlines, and I find these important moments in the story, the moments I really, really see and the ones I really, really want to write, and I connect those as thoroughly as possible, and I find the joy in the words now without having to worry about the story. I know there's a story if I have a skeleton to build off of. So, but that's something that's pretty new to me. That's something I've kind of learned, but I realize I've always had that in me, writing from moment to moment, these bright moments. I call them like beacons or something, you know. So that's the fun right now, is finding those beacons and telling the story that connects one to the next and makes it as thrilling and interesting as possible, because I do like to write supernatural suspense stories, and so I'm having a whole lot of fun doing that right now. And that's what I'm writing.
That sounds cool. We appear to have a caller. Hold on. Hi, caller. You're
Sherry. Hi.
Who is this?
This is Dave. I just wanted to say your voice sounds hot, and I'm jacking off to it right now.
Gosh, one of those. Sorry about that.
I guess if you can call in, I'm sorry about that. I'm offended on your behalf.
As soon as he started, as soon as he said my voice was hot, I knew he was one of those.
Does that happen a lot?
It's happened a few times. Usually it doesn't happen when I have a man in my interview room. So it's sort of odd that actually happened. But, I apologize to the audience.
Oh, no, don't. I'm sorry. On the behalf of all mankind, I apologize.
That's my brother's attitude. He's like, I don't know. He goes, I apologize for my species.
Yes, seriously. We're animals. Get it. I try to be a good one, but I know that they're not a bunch of...
He's like, I don't know. He goes, it's like, I was taught by Dad to be a gentleman. It's like, that's sort of gone a different way.
Yeah. Yes, there's more good guys out there than bad guys, but the bad guys are a lot louder.
Yeah, they seem to want to call into women's talk shows.
Ugh, I'm so sorry.
Anyway, again, I apologize. But I don't have anybody to monitor, so that's why sometimes that happens.
No problem.
Anyway, let's get back to more interesting subjects instead of stupid people like that. stupid, boring people like that. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you about was, now your story is a horror story, but you said that you have, like, science fiction. Are you working on any science fiction, or is your next story going to be a horror story too?
Oh, well, yeah, Acquisition is about a guy who hunts goats. He hunts ghosts in the desert and finds one that's a little bit more than he can handle. And so I love the idea of writing kind of supernatural fiction and so and suspense stories. And so I'm actually building – I've been working since I came home from Writers of the Future from the Writer Workshop, which is – the real grand prize of the contest. I came home and I started working on a novel, and I've got I'm right on the very, very end of it. So I'm setting my novel set in the same world as Acquisition. I've got the same vibe I'm going for, and it's a whole lot of fun, but that different characters, which makes it even more fun. I like the idea of I think that every story should be that character's most traumatic thing, you know, like I know that there's a lot of, especially in mysteries and stuff, there's a lot of series characters, but I always lean towards the stories where if you have a main character in a book, that's the character who is going to be altered the most, changed the most by the story. And so if I do a series, I would like to do different characters each time, just set in the same world. So that's what I'm working on right now, and I'm having a whole lot of fun doing it. It's an incredible experience writing. I always write long anyways. Short stories are kind of hard for me to be brief and concise. So the idea that I've won a short story award makes me very, very happy and very proud, because I wrote, I don't know, 10,000, 12,000 words to get the 5,000-word story, you know, because I kept having to edit it and change it and whatever. But I think that I love suspense stories. I like thrillers, and I love the idea of blending the supernatural with that genre, and so that's what I want to play in.
That's cool. That's really cool. Do you want to write a book, or do you want to write an anthology of short stories? What's next on your horizon?
Oh, yeah, right now I'm working on a novel, and I think I'm a natural novelist. I like to write long. I like to write stories that you can really kind of fall into and get engaged with and be part of that world for a while. I love reading short stories. There's so many great short story writers out there right now. I actually do a monthly article for a British website called thisishorror.co.uk. And I do an article called The Midnight Mixtape, where I take short fiction you can find online and kind of theme up a few stories. And it's just a way to keep in touch with so many great new horror writers, especially by reading their short fiction, because there's so many venues right now online that if I keep reading all these new voices, keep putting new voices in my head while I write, I feel like I only become a stronger writer. But what I actually like to write isn't short. I like to write novels, so I'm hoping to write as many novels as I can.
Cool. Is it going to be based on the same theme as your short story, or do you have a different idea, or is it an expansion of your short story, or is it a brand new idea?
Oh yeah, it's definitely a brand new idea, but it's set in the same world, and so in my short story in Acquisition, people kind of buy and sell souls that are trapped in bones. And it made for a really great story about one of the people who collects that. And so in my novel, it'll be set in that same world where ghosts are real and they're traded and sold. And but again, there's more mysterious things happening even than that. And I'm hoping that in the book I get to explore a lot more of that world and a lot bigger themes about afterlife and our reactions to what we think comes after death, you know. So I'm hoping that more than anything I want it to be fun. I want people to enjoy themselves when they read my stuff. You know, even if they're a little creeped out or a little on the fence about what's going to happen, you know, I've had a lot of people have some very interesting reactions to Acquisition, which won the Golden Pen. And a lot of people were like, I don't know what's going on in this story, but it's kind of creepy, you know. And that just makes me so delighted because I don't consider myself a creepy person, but, you know, that's what I like to read, so I figure that's what I'll put out in the world.
Yeah, it sounds like something that is a passion. Is it a passion?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, even when I'm drawn to thrillers, I still like the dark stuff. I think that, you know, I love Silence of the Lambs. You know, the Thomas Harris books are pretty great. I love the way he writes. There's a really great mystery series right now I'm pretty much obsessed with by Elizabeth Hand. They're the Castanieri novels, Generation Loss, Available, Dark, and Hard Light. And I love the kind of noirish vibe of the character, and Elizabeth Hand is an amazing writer. And so her stories are just so inspirational with how much she's got a great handle on language. And I want to be a good writer, but, you know, I think I'm a good writer. I like to think that. I've worked really hard at it. But getting lost in stories, thrillers, suspense stories, mysteries, I think that's the best thing you can do. I think that for a reader, you want somebody to get to escape a little bit. And even if you're going through a darker story, it should still feel like you're escaping. You should still be introduced to a new world. You should still get to experience that world. I do like happier endings, so but they don't always get that in mysteries and thrillers. But you hope for at least a catharsis at the end, you know, some kind of resonance that makes you feel like it was worth your time. So I'm trying to take all those things into consideration, you know.
That's true. That's really true. So did you have? I know that they have mentors for you when you come to work on the Writers of the Future Award. Who were your mentors, and did you learn anything special from them?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, the prize for the Writers of the Future involves a trip to Hollywood and a week-long writer's workshop. And for us, author David Farland, who also writes under the name Dave Wolverton, and Tim Powers were our instructors for that week, as well as we got a lot of amazing science fiction and fantasy writers as guest speakers. But Dave and Tim definitely took us through, hey, if you want to make your fiction better, here's what you can do, here's some tips, here's some ideas about how to be a they teach you how to be a professional writer. And one of the things they keep reiterating is you are all writing professional work. That's how you won the contest. These are all professionally written stories. You can do this. If this is something you're passionate about, you can continue to be writers. And so we learned, I learned so much. I took so many notes. I don't think I've ever taken that many notes in my life. But part of another thing that we do is we write a 24-hour story when you're at the workshop, which is very intimidating to a lot of people. But you got to come up with it from scratch, and you write it, and you get a whole day to do it. But it's so empowering to learn you can do that. They really... You know, they hold your hand a little bit, but they don't give you any secrets. There's just a start with page one and get to the end, write that story. So what I took away from the Writer's Future is so much confidence. You know, when you do this in a little bubble, when you're doing it in secret, you don't know if your story's any good. You don't know if your writing's any good. But this experience has taught me that, I'm writing professional work. It's connecting with readers. A lot of the reviews... You know, some of the reviews, they don't really care for the idea that it's a ghost story, or they don't really get what I was trying to do. But most of the readers are pretty positive about my story, and it did connect with them, and it did resonate with them. So it tells me that the kind of stories I want to tell, there is an audience out there for them, and that it might be even a bigger audience than I expected. So as long as I write my best abilities and tell the best stories possible, and hopefully give people a pretty fun ride, then I might be kind of successful at this, so that's my goal. I want to do
really
this.
That's really great. We don't have a lot of time. Do you have any signings coming up, conventions, fairs, writing things that anybody can see, that, or online things, anything that's coming up so people can find you? Also, do you have a website, and if you could read it out so people can find it?
Sure. Yeah, I'm on Facebook all the time, and I have a Twitter account that I totally answer anybody, but and that's at Jake of Earth 2, the number 2, and my website is jakemarley.wordpress.com. Yeah, jakemarley.wordpress.com, and I've got a blog on there, and it's another way to connect with me. I'm very available online. I love meeting people. I've got a bunch of writer friends that I got to meet online. I'm going to the Necronomicon convention in Providence, Rhode Island in August, and that's going to be very, very exciting for me. I've never been to the East Coast over there yet, so I'm doing that. But I don't know if I'm going to do any signings or anything, but I'll definitely be around, and people can find me there. And I don't think I have any actual signings ready, but I'm super available online, and I really love meeting and connecting with people. So I think that's one of the most exciting parts about this, is getting to be part of a community that I've loved and admired as a reader for so long, and to realize that all of the writers are such wonderful, genuine people. They all want to help each other succeed. They all want the best for each other. And the more readers we get, the better, you know, writers can do their jobs. And so readers are always great. If anybody has read my story and wants to connect with me, I would love to talk to them. I do love talking to them. It's very exciting. So.
That's cool. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it, too.
Absolutely.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.